You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Holistic Around Hunterdon on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'm your host, Sue Ann Sesha Harnden, owner of Fifth Dimension Healing Energy, offering heart-centered holistic practices for people and animals, including Reiki, SRT, and animal communication. Holistic Around Hunterdon is here to educate and promote awareness on the variety of ways you can connect to and participate in a holistic and balanced lifestyle. Each week, we try to bring you programming that promotes health and well-being for your body, mind, and spirit, including segments on living with the seasons, wellness and healing, and community spotlights. Today, we're going to take a walk on the wild side as we feature two wellness and healing segments on how we can help our companion animals with their healing issues. Many of us love our pets dearly. They're part of our families, and we would do almost anything to help them live a full and healthy life. We take them for regular checkups at the vet, hopefully. But what happens when they need something more? Something, you know, is more more needed in healing, whether they have to recover from an injury or surgery, or the problem isn't really a physical one, but more on the emotional or mental side. Where do you go? Well, today we're going to introduce you to two businesses that you can turn to for help, Margo for Animals and Animal Rehabilitation and Fitness, known as ARF. And I have with me in the studio today three guests, and I'll introduce them shortly. We're going to talk to Margo for Animals first with Margo Biblin and Valerie Keith. And then we'll, on the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Amy Flannery and Grizzly from Animal Rehabilitation and Fitness. So let me introduce Margo for Animals and welcome Margo Biblin again and Valerie Keith. Ladies,
thanks,
welcome. Great. Oh, sorry, let me get your mics there. So go ahead, tell us about your business. What's Margo for Animals? What do you offer in terms of services?
We're actually the kind of business that wants to go out of business if we do our job right. We started about 2007 with, I think between the two of us, we have about several decades of work with animal rescues, shelters, vets, rehabs, veterinarians, etc. And we were doing a lot of volunteer work separately. I hadn't met her yet. And separately, we both felt that we weren't doing something of value. You know, we got very involved, and you get very busy, and you do a lot of volunteer work. And I'm like, I know I can do more. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining this frustration to one of my contacts, Aunt Mary's Doghouse, Mary Cody, and she said, start your own organization. So she named it. I don't think I would have named myself as the organization.
Okay.
And we started, I went through the 501c3 process and started Margo for Animals. Where I feel I could add more value is using my background, it's not a 27-year background in information technology and a master's in finance and other things. So what we do now is we offer service and support, such as technical, financial direction and support to some of these organizations. And I feel I can give more and help more and get more done. During that time, I spied this woman doing some incredible, incredible animal work at another rescue organization. And I was just really impressed with how she handled the animals and handled the dogs. So I saw her frustration, waited for her to quit.
And I did. And then I joined Margo for Animals.
Oh, okay. So that's how the team got together.
Yes, and we started the Doggy Do Right program, which is behavioral modification.
Okay.
And basically, we are vet referral. We are vet referral only, and we handle cases that either other trainers or people in the industry don't want to deal with, last chance euthanasia, those sorts of behavioral things, adopted dogs who are having trouble settling. Mm-hmm. And we make a home visit. We go to the house. We take as much time. We've had appointments on average, maybe 2.5 hours, but we've had appointments that have lasted 7.5 or 8 hours. Hmm. And we stay with the entire family and we work through the issues until they feel they have seen significant progress. And we don't leave until then.
Okay.
And afterwards, we present them with a protocol, a written protocol that they can follow.
Okay.
They have the ability to follow up with us at no charge unless we come back. Mm-hmm. Our whole motivation in this program is that we come, we explain to you what the potential miscommunication is between you and your animal. We write it down so you can't mistake what's happening. We tell you how to manage it in print. And then if we do our job, we never hear from you again.
Okay,
maybe
yeah.
we get a lovely email with pictures, you know, or maybe just a small note like everything's going great, or your vet will call us and say, wow, we've seen an improvement. But that's what we're looking for. We work with a lot of people who have been immensely frustrated by spending thousands of dollars on training that doesn't address the issue because they're not considering it from a behavioral perspective.
Okay. So I wanted, and I'm glad you brought up the Doggy Do Right program. I know that's just one of many, and I want to make sure we touch on all the different programs that you offer. But I just want to go back and clarify. So is your focus working on just the canine species, or do you work with all species?
We work with anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, we work with horses, dogs, cats. Mm-hmm. We follow a philosophy in terms of our training protocols that addresses the predator-prey relationships. Mm-hmm. We do not believe in vogue training methods. Anything from dominance to positive reinforcement only is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is we don't use any form of physical correction, but the reality is that no one lives a consequenceless life.
Mm-hmm.
So to ignore your pet's bad behavior, we feel when you could give them a verbal signal of disapproval, and we can show you very easily how to do that and when you need to do it and how it need, you know, the tone you need to use to continue to expect your pet to behave better when they don't even understand what they've done is wrong. That's a very human perspective, and it takes 3, 4, 5 times as long to train a dog to do a simple thing if you never indicate any form of boundary.
Okay, very good. And I'm sorry, did you say that you're vet referral, or can individuals come to you, or does it have to come through the veterinary?
Anyone can contact us.
Okay.
We prefer vet referral, and it's worked out really well because then we can be sure the issue, the behavior issue, is not health-related, because there are a couple times where we've gone
to
houses.
We do. Yeah, we've seen significant pain-related issues that the owner, especially as the dog ages, they have osteoarthritic changes, and I'm sure your next guest will be able to address that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are just unaware of it. You live with it every day. You don't realize that your dog's stride has shortened. You don't realize that he's having a little trouble on the stairs.
Right.
Now, if he lives with children, with other dogs, if there are strangers coming and going, that's going to make him short-tempered and irritable, much like we would be under pain.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we will find when we go, one of the things we do tell people is you need to go to your vet. You need to have some blood work done. Maybe you need to have your vet run your dog through a range of motion tests and see. And we found significantly that there are a lot of issues related to pain, even if they're not evident in terms of osteoarthritic changes. So we would then recommend, say, a joint supplement to see if that would do something. And so far, we've had great luck with that.
Oh, okay.
And on a more acute nature, we've had several referrals from vets as the last hope. I mean, an animal has been scheduled for euthanasia because of a behavior situation or an aggression problem or whatever, and the family doesn't think they can cope with it. We'll get referred by the vet. We'll meet the people. And we've been pretty successful.
I think in 5 years, we've had two dogs that we have recommended be euthanized, and they were both literally exhibiting clinical signs of, you know, brain damage, poor development wiring, that there's nothing at that point. They're simply a danger.
Right.
But we do feel very strongly that if people understand what the motivating factor of that behavior is, they can address it. And if they can't address it, they can at least make an intelligent decision about how they want to deal with this. They might be able, we've had plenty of dogs that have passed to a new home with a complete written set of instructions. We've been called in by rescues for difficult animals who can't find homes, who within within a few weeks because you get a how to do it sheet yeah. with the animal, right. they've found homes. Hmm. Because if you understand what the motivation is and you understand how to prevent the problem, it's no longer so terrifying.
Right.
You know, if the dog looks at you funny and you know you've been told in print that you shouldn't be chasing that dog down the hallway, and he looks at you funny, maybe you know at that moment, I shouldn't be doing this.
Or staring him in the face or
yeah.
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And I do want to get into some of those maybe clue behaviors that people could, you know, start to take more notice of maybe in their own behavior if they start to see those behaviors. And I just want to say, again, you know, your approach is very holistic, right? You're working with
yes.
the owners and the companion
yep.
people, right? The companion animals plus the vets.
Everybody.
Anybody else on the
everybody,
team?
Everybody, the neighbors.
Anybody who comes in.
I've let her loose at Woodlands Wildlife,
yes.
our
yes.
favorite place,
yes.
and
yeah.
she's communicated with some of the animals there. I was really amazed.
Okay, good, good, good. And, you know, I'm, as you know, a holistic practitioner as well and work with animals and find the whole complementary support of things like animal communication and Reiki and SRT, spiritual response therapy technique, you know, to work at different levels
yes.
of those problems so that
yes.
you're always working it from many different facets,
mm-hmm.
trying to really get to the root cause and find out why is this happening and
yes.
and solve it. You know, we're all problem solvers at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good. We have to take our first commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Holistic Around Hunterdon. And it's still 74 degrees and sunny here in Flemington. You're listening to Holistic Around Hunterdon. I'm Sue Ann Sasha Harnden, owner of Fifth Dimension Healing Energy, a holistic, heart-centered energy practice serving both people and animals. And we're back talking about animal behavior support with Margot for Animals, Valerie Keith, and Margot Biblin. So before we went to the break, we're talking more about the, you know, holistic approach of bringing all the team members onto the playing field as we're working through these behavior issues. So did you want to tell us about some of the other programs and services you offer?
Sure. Well, I would say we'll probably focus on Doggy Do Right, since that covers, that's been our most popular. That's where we're desired the most, and actually that's where we're trying to eventually go out of business.
Yeah.
But perhaps it'd be helpful to give the listeners an idea of what a typical session is all about. Typically, we get contacted by the vet or the person. I'll do a 1 hour or so phone interview to get an idea and listen and really listen to what they think the problem is and ask a lot of details. We will visit them on site wherever they want because we want to go to the place that
the problem
exists. Thank you. And
so this could actually be in a shelter.
Yeah, we'll do
or
it in a shelter.
Home,
we'll go to a park.
Or they're already at the house and they're just new to the environment.
We've mm-hmm. met at a PetSmart because I wanted to deal with a dog at PetSmart.
Great.
We've done dog parks and typically the home.
Okay.
And the whole session, I'll let Val go into more detail, but it's to first we have to assess and understand the dog, look at their environment, look at a protocol, practice the protocol, make sure it works, teach it to the person or to the family, and we prefer as many people show up as possible, and hand them a written document. You know, we'll eventually deliver a written document mm-hmm. so they have guidelines because both of us talk too fast mm-hmm. and they probably can't take
yeah,
it all in.
It's a lot of information at once.
Okay.
But typically it's 99%, it's just takes one visit from us.
Well, and they follow the protocol. That's the important
yeah.
part.
Mm-hmm.
We give you a training program for mm-hmm. how your dog's temperament will improve, how you can get it to do the things you want. If you don't follow it, we can't help you.
Sure.
And we're, you know, there are plenty of places if you want to drive there every week with your dog to teach it how to do these things, you know, by all means,
that's fine.
Do
Please.
Go there. Those mm-hmm. are wonderful. But if you're having a specific problem in your home, going to an offsite obedience training facility is not necessarily going to address the issue.
Okay.
Everyone likes to think, you know, it's a simple matter if I teach my dog how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know why your dog is misbehaving,
right.
you don't know how to teach them how to behave.
Sure.
The one thing I've learned from Val, and I've learned so much since she's joined me. Thank
Margo
you.
Margo doesn't
thank
get
you.
Out a lot.
Yeah, I don't get out a lot. It's true. But it's not cookie cutter. There is
yeah.
no such no. thing as a cookie cutter
oh, sure.
approach.
They're all individual beings, right?
Exactly.
They came in with their own challenges. And
the families
yeah.
are different, and the environments are
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
So
and you have to respect
has.
Everyone. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way we treat it is neither Margo nor I have children, but we, in that respect, we believe very firmly that to the people we're talking to, that dog is as close to a child
mm-hmm.
as something furry is ever going to be.
Absolutely.
So we need to respect exactly what they want to have happen, what the dog is capable of, what everyone in the family is capable of,
mm-hmm.
And sit down with them and be really open and honest. And, you know, we have talked to people where we've said flat out, I don't know that this dog is the best dog for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's not a great dog, but in your house, mm-hmm. in these circumstances, why don't we talk to the shelter that you got the dog from and see, you know, what the options are. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can rehome the dog into a family where it will excel at simply being itself. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can find you a dog that suits all your needs right. without it having to be such a stretch for everybody.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, having a pet in your house is supposed to make you happy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know,
and sometimes
that's...
those stressful situations occur, right?
Well, so. People, what we've found, one of the biggest problems, not problems, but mistakes you can make in adopting is while Pet Finder and places like that have done numerous wonderful things mm-hmm. for the world of animal adoption, people fall in love with a photo.
Mm.
They assign characteristics to the photo, and then they assume that's what the dog is.
Okay.
So they go to a specific location for a specific animal, and they've already decided they want it. Whether or not the dog is what they think, they already want it. Mm-hmm. And what we keep telling people is doing that is the equivalent of choosing to agree to commit to an arranged marriage versus dating first. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind how it works out in the end and you're determined that you're going to make it work, mm-hmm. then by all means, take that chance.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to enjoy the prospect and you feel like maybe you don't want to have to try so hard, there's a dog there out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of being honest. If you want to run a marathon, there's a dog for you. If you want to watch movie marathons and never get up, there's a dog for you. You know, we have one in the studio right
yeah.
now.
He's being the perfect. Brisley's being very.
He's being perfect.
With us. He's a yeah. perfect boy today,
and he's yes. eating, so he's awake.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
you know.
So tell. Can you get into a little bit about the? Some of the more rewarding cases, or maybe some of the challenging ones, and you know what made them.
I have to go with the go. One rewarding. You know, I'll say Cody's name.
Oh, our favorite dog.
We went.
Ever.
We
this dog
we were
made
the
us
last
look
resort
so smart.
For oh. a very large mix. You probably remember what the
he
mix
was
is.
A northern breed.
Yeah,
isn't he a Malamute?
I think so.
He was about 150 mm-hmm. pounds. He's
this
dog.
Woman had spent
thousands
an exorbitant
of dollars.
Amount of money. And many, many months of lessons for
dog aggression.
Specialized positive motivation training and dog aggression. Val and I met her through the veterinarian, you know, where I work, mm-hmm. and we ended up meeting her, and Val did
that was
her job.
The easiest dog.
1 hour.
That was 1 hour. That dog
she
made us
figured
look
it out.
So, well, you yeah. know, every think about this. Just like every person is different and expects an honest, sincere approach based on their temperament, mm-hmm. so does an animal.
Yeah.
This dog was an extremely confident, not aggressive, but we call him an English gentleman of a dog. He's like 007. He, you know, he is charming and smart and gorgeous, but don't make him angry.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was a dog that if you treated him with respect, he'd do anything for you. Anything. He'd stop looking at the other dog when you told
him
to.
And try to attack
it.
Yeah.
And he'd stop trying to attack it if you yeah. gave him an audible signal of disapproval, which we call the angry mommy noise.
Okay.
And it's the same noise that a parent makes when a child touches the stove. And the reason we use that noise is because all group animals have in their genetic conditioning a response to a noise of alarm or alert mm. from a member of the group.
Okay.
So if a group animal is about to do something wrong and someone goes, ah! Mm-hmm. Everybody in the studio just looked.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But that, I mean, what happens is the animal makes the move that is inappropriate. You make that noise in shock and response because they're genetically conditioned
yeah.
to. The animal will look to you. All you have to do then is tell them, good dog, good dog. That seems simplistic and utterly stupid, but the reality is dogs think A to B,
yeah.
B to C.
Yeah, they're very
they don't
direct
think.
Communicators.
Yes.
They're not
so
very
your
flowery.
Dog will never,
know,
ever...
thinking about little things. Mm-hmm. They're like, what do you want me to do?
Exactly.
Just tell me.
So if the timing is right, what your dog will understand is, I did this, she didn't like it, I stopped doing it, she liked when I stopped.
Yep.
And you would be shocked the number of dogs who have ongoing, quote-unquote, lifetime behavioral problems. It's a miscommunication.
Sure,
nobody's ever said no, but then yes when they stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't reinforce the
they
positive
didn't,
behavior.
You cannot just give yeah. no. You have to give yeah. just as many yeses, even if that's simply to reward them for holding still and looking at you and paying attention
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
But
beautiful.
I don't want to leave the listeners with a false impression that it's always that quick.
No.
We've
no.
had some great breakthroughs. We call them light bulb moments for
yeah.
the owners mm-hmm. and their pets. But the
there
other
are plenty
thing,
of people who work for months and they, you know,
it takes, I think your usual rule is 500 repetitions.
Yeah, the general rule for mm-hmm. rewriting muscle memory, because you have to remember when you have a behavioral problem, there's muscle memory written in there. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple. The animal's not even choosing to make that decision anymore. Its body is reacting. Mm-hmm. If you want to overwrite that, if you want to rewrite muscle memory, they say it's a minimum of 500 repetitions.
Okay.
So depending on what you're doing, that can take quite a long time.
But it gives a good level set for the client.
Yes.
And
you know, it's not
because it
typically, right now.
It may be less, it may be more, but don't forget that you have to have patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You just can't expect things to happen right away.
We're running on a few minutes here before we have to wrap up our segment, but can you give us some of the clues? Like, what are the things that, you know, are sort of the hot buttons or the triggers that people might want to watch out for when they have an animal that's in a situation where there's a behavior or a conflict?
And the first
thing? The trigger points, I guess.
Sure. Well, here's my first thing. If you think it's going to be a problem, stop doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just got your adopted dog and you want to have a huge house party and you think maybe that's not a good idea, there's a reason you think that. You know,
I mean, pay attention to that little voice.
Pay attention to that little voice that says that's a stupid idea and mm-hmm. follow it. You know, when you're having a problem like that, the first thing you should do is call your vet. Mm-hmm. Call your vet and talk to your vet about what's going on and ask them, could there in any way, shape, or form be a physical cause for this? Mm-hmm. Could this be pain related? Mm-hmm. If they say there is any possibility of it whatsoever, even if you're kind of rolling your eyes, go. Mm-hmm. Go to the vet. Spend the money, have the test done. Because the reality is, you can pay everyone from Caesar Milan on down to come to your house, and you know what? It's not going to fix a thing if your dog is acting out of pain.
Right. So rule that out first.
Rule that out first.
Step one. Okay.
I think the other thing, too, is, you know, consider when you have a dog in your house that it is not unlike an employee-employer relationship. You, most of us, cannot simply walk out of our job when we've had a bad day. You know, we don't have that freedom. Your dog can't leave when you're a jerky owner. Mm-hmm. So be the owner you want to be. Nobody wants to work for someone who only notices when you mess up.
Yeah.
You know, and we see people all the time with dogs who suffer from, you know, it sounds funny, but low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Well, that leads, believe it or not, we can all laugh, but that leads mm-hmm. to things like fear aggression.
Oh, absolutely.
Without question. Yeah. And one of the easiest ways to resolve an issue for a timid dog is to pick a single thing they can do well, whether it's sit or even look at you when you say their name. And every time they do it, act like they won the lottery. If you don't feel stupid, you're not doing it right. You have to have an obscene level of emotion where, you're so wonderful. You won the lottery. Believe it or not, if you do that for 30 days, multiple times a day, you will have a very different dog at the end. Right. Just like if you went to work doing the same job you've done all the time, but you got a new boss who every day said to you, you're the best employee I've ever had. Yeah. Here's some coffee. I love you. Look at how well you sit at your desk.
Sure.
You look so professional sitting there. That's a whole different experience than a boss who comes in and says, your TPS report's late, you know.
Sure.
Because
the animals are so responsive to the energy and the space of the home.
Absolutely.
And I know this from my practice. They take on a lot of the energy in the home and the space.
They will.
So if people have issues, you know, whatever they may be, sadness, fear, you know, disharmony, whatever. Conversely, if everyone's happy, so are the animals because they want to see the people happy.
Absolutely.
There's a reason they chose to be with you.
Yeah. They're group animals, so they're reading you. You're part of their group.
Yeah.
And your well-being affects their survival.
Yes.
I mean, on a basic evolutionary level, mm-hmm. they want you happy and doing well.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not really fair to penalize an animal when they don't even understand what they did wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Beautiful. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to give you a few seconds to tell people how to connect with Margo for Animals and all the great work you're doing.
And sure, since we did focus on Doggy Do Right, you can look at our website mm-hmm. and it'll list all the things and all the programs we have.
Okay, but very quickly, you have technical and rescue resources for rescue organizations, mm-hmm. right? You have a Harriet's No Hunger, which is a food donation program.
Yeah, you've been reading my website.
I did my homework.
she does
and
not.
Then Doggy Do Right, right? So those are the main things.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a variety of services to people that are trying to help animals,
whether they're
rescue organizations or
if
people trying
help
to help their
own. If you need help and we can help you, we'd like to.
Yeah, or you can make sure you've got
Build
a big
a
network
niche.
You can connect other people into, too, as well.
And they can. Our website is margoforanimals.org. And all the contact information is there.
Good. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks
very
much. Very informative. We really appreciate it. And next, when we come back, we're going to be talking about physical therapy and animal rehabilitation. But first, the news.